Well, you have your Bibles. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's pick back up where we were about 3 weeks ago. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. We're going to get back and pick up in our series on the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. The Spirit within and the Spirit upon. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 14. Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. Verse 16, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now notice this. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Another implies that there was one before. Well, who was that one before? It was him. He was with them. Praise God. He said, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Go to Acts chapter 1. We're going to review just a few scriptures here and a few things before we move forward. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, Luke's recording this, in verse 8 he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Notice the words upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Go back to John's gospel right there. You're right close. Let's go to the 20th chapter. This is something we talked about previous, but we need to go back and look at it just for a few minutes, and then we'll move forward. But you remember we talked about how when Jesus had been raised from the dead, early that morning, he appeared to Mary. And when Mary tried to approach him, he said, Mary, touch me not. You can't touch me because I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Okay? And then we see here in John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So we see that that evening Jesus appeared to his disciples, showed him his hands, and then he breathed on them. You know, you'll see in the scriptures that a lot of times where it talks about the Spirit, it's the word breath or breathe is the same word spirit. I'm talking about if you look it up in the Greek or the Hebrew, it's the same word. Breath or breathe would be spirit. He breathed and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Well, did they receive? Yes. That's when the disciples were born again. He had already applied his blood. The reason he told Mary not to touch him is because he had not yet ascended. We've looked at this in times past, how you can go to the book of Hebrews, the 8th, 9th, and 10th chapters, and you can see what all Jesus did. He entered into heaven itself, appeared before the throne of God for us. He was not a type and a shadow. He was the true Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. And he went into the Holy of Holies, not made with human hands, like Moses built the tabernacle. He went in with his own blood and presented. And then later that evening, he came and appeared to them. Let's go back to Luke's account of this in the 24th chapter of Luke. Take a left in your Bible. Let's go back and look at this. We're going to go back and just review just a few things, and then we're moving forward, okay? Glory to God. Luke 24. Verse This is Luke's account of what we just read in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we see where he come and showed him his hands and his sides, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Well, they did. Right here we see in verse 36 of Luke 24, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit," or that they'd seen a ghost. I mean, they flipped out, guys. I mean, it'd be just like if he was at the house in the bedroom, we was all maybe having some company, we just eating dinner, and all of a sudden he walks through the wall. I'm sure it would change your demeanor. I'm sure the hair on the back of your head would stand straight up, and you'd get goosebumps you've never had before. I mean, these guys, I mean, these were fishermen, these were people, I mean, you know. And yet they were frightened and supposed they'd seen a spirit, a ghost. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, he said, "Have you here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. I mean, guys, it flipped them out. And he said, "Listen, I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. Touch me. Handle me. A spirit don't have flesh and bone." Now see, when he was raised from the dead, his body was glorified. Just like our body will be glorified. We've got the earnest and the down payment. Our body's going to be fashioned like his body. Oh, glory to God. Now here's the good news about this. He said, "Touch me. Handle me." He said, "You got it. You got something to eat? I'll prove it to you. You got anything to eat?" He said, "Well, we got some honeycomb. We got some fish." He said, "Get me some of it." Guess what? Lily, we're going to get to eat in our glorified body. Oh, hallelujah. That's worth the price of admission this morning. We're going to get to still eat in our glorified bodies. Amen. That's something we're going to... I don't know about y'all, but me likey. I mean, I like that I'm going to get to eat still in my glorified body. Jesus, when he came back through that tomb, he picked up a glorified body, was raised, and his body was glorified. He went to heaven, came back and walked through a wall and said, "Listen, I'm not a spirit. Touch me. Handle me. Oh, by the way, you got something to eat?" "Yeah." He said, "Let me have some of it." Okay, that's just a little side note. That's not our main subject. Don't want to get on food. And the Bible says here in verse 45, he said, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Now look at verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Where's he going to send it? Upon you. Now, in John's gospel, he breathed on them. You know, he sat in the upper room. He said, "I'm going to pray. He's going to give you another comforter. He'll be with you. He'll abide with you forever. And he not only will be with you, but he shall be in you." He breathed on them in that upper room and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Well, they received. Now, Luke does not say that, but John gives us the account that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Same situation, same moment. But right here, then he told me, he said, "Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And, of course, Acts, the second chapter tells us they were all in one accord. Right? And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And there appeared unto them as a cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and to begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. So we've talked about the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. It is a dual working of the Holy Spirit. Being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit is an experience subsequent to the new birth. We took the time to go through the book of Acts. You remember? We went through the book of Acts, through all the situations. Amen. One of the main chapters in the book of Acts that you really see this is Acts chapter 8, where Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And there was miracles done. And the Bible says they received, they believed the word and the preaching that Philip come and preached the kingdom of God and preached Jesus unto them. And they were baptized. They believed and were baptized. Well, Jesus said in Mark 16, this same situation here in the upper room with them when he appeared to him. You remember Mark's account of it. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You remember that? He that believes will be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Right? He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Excuse me, I misquoted. I left out baptized. So according to Jesus, the people in Samaria were saved because they believed the word. They believed the preaching of the gospel that Philip brought to them about Jesus, and they believed and were baptized. Then after that, they sent Peter and John to them who come down to pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For he had yet not fallen upon them. Now, we've looked at that. And we've also talked about the Spirit of God within us. You remember there are two other accounts we covered, and the Holy Spirit just brought this to me, was in John chapter 4 where Jesus ministered. Let's go to John chapter 4 right quick. You're right there at the end of Luke. Look at this scripture. If you got your Bibles online, your smart device, look at it. You know, the Bible's not to depart from your eyes. Do you know there's a blessing in just reading the scriptures? There's a blessing in just reading the book of Revelation. I like blessings from heaven. I like to delight myself in the word of God. Because he said my leaf won't fade, won't wither, and whatever I do shall prosper. That's what he said to me. It's what he said to you. Hallelujah. John chapter 4. Jesus answered in verse 13 and said unto the woman, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So he refers here, this is talking about the new birth. And he referred to the water that he would give would be a well on the inside of you. It would be in you. That's for one's benefit to partake of. Then he said in John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, one translation says, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, I said this before, I'm going to say it again. There is a difference between a well and a river. You know, I've been to the river. And my great grandparents, my mother's parents died when she was just a baby. So I knew my great grandparents, and they were up in years when I was a child. They had a well. They had an outhouse that we went when we'd go over to visit them. They didn't have indoor bathroom. We'd draw water from that well. Now, as a kid, sometimes we'd throw things down in that well. We wouldn't tell them what we throwed in there, but we'd throw different things because we liked it. We'd hear that rocks, different things, just throw it in there, and all of a sudden, boom, that sound. A well is different from a river. Jesus talked about a well in John 4, and he talks about a river in John 7. And the reason we say these things, guys, is because there are so many people that don't believe, but there is just one experience. You just get saved, and once you're saved, that's it. You have everything that there is. That's not true. I said that's not true, not according to the scriptures. Not according to what Jesus said. Not according to what the book of Acts records. Now, here's the thing about the well within you. The Spirit of God in you, and water's the type of the Spirit. The well in you is for your benefit. And the Spirit of God in you wants to minister to you and to help you. And one of the things he wants to do is bring many renewals in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is what? Is renewed day by day. Well, how's he renewed? He's not renewed apart from the Spirit of God. Go to Ephesians, the third chapter. Paul is writing to believers at Ephesus. We're talking about Spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers. You remember in the book of Acts, when he first came into the upper coast of Ephesus, he asked him, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" That tells you right there, there's another experience. They said, "We don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about, this Holy Ghost stuff?" He said, "Well, tell me your deal. How did..." They said, "Well, we heard John the Baptist, you know, he was the forerunner." And so Paul ministered to them. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. Talking about water baptized. They believed and they were baptized, so they're saved. And then he laid his hands on them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And then he wrote a letter to these people. The book of Ephesians. You know what he says right here in the third chapter? He shared some things and he got to verse 14. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of who the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit." Where? In the inner man. So that tells me, even after you're born again, after you're Spirit filled, you can still be strengthened with God's might by his Spirit. Where? In your inner man. Just like Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, your inner man can be renewed day by day. Isaiah said it like this: "They that wait upon the Lord shall" what? "Renew their strength." He gives power to the faint. He increases strength to them that have no might. How does he do it? He does it by his Spirit. He does it by the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You know, we need to be more aware of the one who lives on the inside of us. We need to acknowledge him. We need to be expecting our inward man to be renewed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's talk a little bit more now. Let's shift gears. Let's move forward. Let's talk about this working of the Spirit of God within us. Go with me. Let me see here. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel, chapter 36, we'll begin in verse 25. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. For all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Remember, Ezekiel prophesied that man would receive a new heart, a new spirit. The stony heart would be taken out and you'd get a heart of flesh. And God would put his spirit within you and cause you to walk in his statutes and in his judgments. We see Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Paul writing here, referring back, he says, "For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Verse 12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." And of course, we won't get into some other things here. But we see that Ezekiel prophesied about a new spirit. That's talking about the new birth. You remember Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God." Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 5. He said, "The love of God will be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost." And this is what I want to talk about here for the remainder, and we'll go forward with this. But you've heard me say this, the greatest thing for a believer, after he's been born again. Now, the number one need for man, if he's not born again, is to be born again. But once a man is born again, the greatest need for that man's life, I liken it to this, is twofold. Number one, he's got to get his mind renewed. Okay? And the other thing is to learn how to listen and follow the Spirit of God on the inside of him. Because, see, Jesus talked about a comforter that would come, and he would not only be with us, but he would be in us. And I'm convinced if we will learn how to be aware and be conscious of the one who lives on the inside of us, and if we'll listen to him and we will follow him. Let me ask you a question. If you listen to him and he guides you and speaks to you and shows things to you and you follow that, what do you think is going to happen to you? You think bad things are going to happen to you if you're listening to him and you follow him? You yield to that. You walk in that. That's why I say the greatest thing for a born-again person is to learn how to recognize the one who lives on the inside of them. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll go ahead and say this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." There's different things we could say about that. One of the things that implies is that sons of God are people who are mature. Now, we're all sons of God. We're all born into the family through the new birth. But when you're being led by him and you're following him, there's a sense of maturity and growth in that. And the Bible says in the 16th verse, "For the Spirit," the King James says itself. Other translations say himself, which is accurate. Because Jesus said in the upper room, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you. The greatest thing we can do is learn to listen to the one who lives on the inside of us and to follow that. If there's ever a time where we are in these days that we're in right now, which I believe are the last days, we're going to have to listen and follow the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. What we're to do, where we're to be. We don't need a reason to say no to anything and everything that's asked of us. We don't need a reason to say no. We need a reason to say yes. I want to say that again. You don't need a reason to say no. Well, because if you try to give somebody a reason, you say no, and you really don't have a reason, they're like, well, if you don't have a reason, then it's okay to do it. If you don't have a reason not to do it, then it's okay to. No, it's not. That's not being led by the Spirit. I do not need a reason to say no. I need a reason to say yes. I need a reason to yield. I need a witness. You're not a mind. You're not a body. You're a spirit being. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly, Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. In other words, your spirit is what God is going to use. Your spirit is what He's going to use to guide you. Not your mind. Not your feelings, not your body. Let me go ahead and drop this bomb. You can go to the most educated people in the world, and you can counsel with them, and you can talk to them about things, about decisions in your life to be led, and that is not enough. Because you're not to be led by somebody else's intellect. That is not what the Scripture tells us how to be led. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. The spirit of man is the kingdom of the Lord. Your spirit is where God's going to guide you and speak to you. Not your head. Not your mind. Not your reasoning. Not your feelings. Not your senses. Well, we got a good deal down here at the place so-and-so, man. They've marked that thing down 50, 60%. That's God. No, it's not. You're being led by price. It didn't say for as many as you're being led by price are the sons of God. You may go get 50% off of that deal or that car or that vehicle or whatever, and that thing turns out to be more problems. And even though they marked you off 50%, what you did pay was wasted. Because you were led by the outward, the external. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's the number one way God's going to lead us. Now, let's get to some other things. Y'all okay with this? You know, the Bible talks about a new spirit and a new heart that God would put in us. John said this to the church. He said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. How do you know that you've passed from death? I'm talking about spiritual death. Unto eternal life. How do you know that? According to the Scriptures, because you love. What that tells me is that we have a nature of love. We have the nature of our Father in us. God is love. And now when we've been born again, we've been born of God. You remember 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 said, whosoever believed that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, if you're born of God, then you're born of love, because that's what God is. You remember we just read that Ezekiel prophesied that we'd have a new heart, that stony heart be taken away, and then God would put His law on the inside of us, that we'd walk in it. Well, the law of the new covenant is the law of love. Remember Jesus said in that upper room, He said, a new commandment. And He said, by this all men will know that your mind, I'll say it another way, this is how all people know that you're being led by the Spirit. The number one way, listen to me, the number one way you're going to be led of the Spirit, of course, is He's going to bear witness with your spirit. But also, I could say it like this, the number one way is you're going to walk in His Word. The psalmist said, order my steps according to thy word. John wrote to the church and said, the Father has no greater joy than to know and to see and to hear that his children are walking in truth. You're being led by the word. What does the Bible say? I see this around us. What does the Bible say? What does God's word say about it? You can't go, listen, I said this Wednesday night, and we'll get back into this in our Wednesday services. Listen, you cannot listen to the counsel of the ungodly. You have to get off social media. You have to quit looking up stuff and listening to stuff and watching all those videos and all this kind of stuff. They're not talking about Jesus. They're not talking about what does the word say. And it will interfere with your heart. That's another, I don't want to get off on that right now. We're born of love. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. Paul said to Timothy like this, he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? A spirit of power and a spirit of love. Another way we could say it like this, a spirit of power. He says a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But we could say it like this, a spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. That's what God has given us. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And now the spirit within us, we are walking the commandment of love. We'll walk in love because that's the spirit of love on the inside of us. And we're going to be led by that. And that's the number one way that you'll know. Like I said, the Spirit will bear witness with you, but the Spirit of God is always going to lead you in line with the Word. The Bible says the Spirit and the Word agree. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. You remember Jesus prayed for the disciples and for us in the upper room. He said, Father, sanctify them while they're in this world. He said, sanctify them by thy truth. And he said, thy word is truth. That's why John wrote and said, God has no greater joy than to see and to know that his children are walking in truth. You remember Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, my words are spirit and they are life. So if you're going to walk by the spirit and you're going to walk in life, you're going to have to walk by his words. Jesus and the Father are one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at that right quick. Praise the Lord. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now look at verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, here again, Paul writing to the church at Galatians, same thing he said to the church at Rome. He said, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and he talks about adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All these things above are the works of the flesh. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. You remember Jesus said, I'm the vine. You're the branch. You're the branches. Remember I told you a while ago, we talked about this earlier, without me you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Well, we know that fruit grows on the branch. Well, we know where the support, the source is, and where the supply comes from. It comes from him. You remember he said, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to give you another comforter where we started in John chapter 14. He's going to abide with you forever. Not only will he be with you, but he shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless or orphans, I will come to you. He's talking about himself in the person of the Holy Ghost. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency might be of the power of God and not of ourselves. It's the life of the Spirit within. We're talking about the Spirit of God within us. We're talking about being more aware of Him in these last days. Matter of fact, you'll see over in the book of Jude that all the mockers, all this stuff that's going on around us right now. Listen to me, guys. I want you to listen to me. Everybody listen to me. Look at me online. All this stuff that's going on around us, the Scripture talks about it. You know what it says about these people and all this stuff's going around? It says they're sensual, not having the Spirit. He says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost and keeping yourselves in the love of God. Peter said like this. He said, the end of all things is at hand. The last days. You go to his second epistle. At the end of his second epistle, he talks about that people would fall away from their own steadfastness. But right before that, he talks about the end of all things are at hand. Therefore, we're to have fervent love among ourselves. Well, listen, none of this stuff is apart from the Spirit of God within us. This is not of ourselves anyway. You remember Paul said, our sufficiency is not of ourselves. But our sufficiency is what Jesus did through the cross for us. Peter recorded it and said how Christ would suffer. And through his suffering, how he would die and be buried and be raised again. We have a living and a lively hope now through his resurrection. And he said, because he suffered, there would be a glory that would follow. Well, I'm telling you right now, he redeemed us from the curse of the law, gave himself for us that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And the reason I say these things to us is because I believe through the unction of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, he talked about us having an unction from the Holy One. And right before that verse in 1 John 2:20, it talks about even now in the world there are many antichrists. He talked about the antichrist, which is the literal antichrist that will show up. But he said, even now there are many antichrists in the world. He said, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you're to know things. He went on to say, there's an anointing that abides in you, and you need not that any man would teach you. He's not talking about the fivefold ministry gift of teacher, pastor, evangelist, prophet. He's talking about something on the inside of you that causes you to be so aware of what's Jesus and what's not. And the Bible tells us in the last days that men will call evil good and good evil. It's confusion. They don't even recognize. They're sensual. They're carnal. They're not being led by the Spirit. Oh, praise God. But we're to be led by the Spirit. And we're to be led by love. Hallelujah. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Sometimes you've heard this phrase, people just need to die to self. No, not as a Christian you don't. As a Christian, you don't die to self. Because if you've become a new creature, if any man's in Christ, he's become a new creature. Why would you want to die to the new creature on the inside of you? Why would you want to die to that person if he's a new creation? No, that's the person you want to yield to and be alive to. You don't want to die to him. You want to do what the Scripture is. You want to crucify the flesh. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 12. He said, you got to present your body. God's not going to present your body. We have to do something about our body, so that we can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because we want our mind, our soul, renewed and transformed so it can be in agreement and be something that our spirit can bring light and illumination and revelation to our thinking. You remember we talked about how the soul is sort of like the cutoff valve. We don't need that valve shut off. We need that valve open. We need it transformed so that what's on the inside can work its way to the outside. Hallelujah. Can I give you a scriptural example? I've got a few, but I've only got time to get into one. Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter. Let me ask you a question. What would love do in situations? You know, you remember the braces come out, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, let's go ahead and break this on down to more applicable, even a more easier, the way I would look at it is an easier way to look at it. What would love do? What would divine love do? Well, divine love is not self-seeking. Do you know how much stuff that's going on out around us right now is so self-seeking? Divine love does not look on its own interest. What's going on around us where people are trying to bring forth their interest? It's not godly. It's not the Spirit of God. And yet, you've got even Christians just hooking up, taking the bait, hook, line, and sinker. And thinking it's God and godly. And it's not the Holy Ghost. It's carnal. It's sensual. It's emotional. It's soulish in the sense that it's a soul that's not renewed. Don't shout me down in here. That's right, Brother Roger. Praise the Lord. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be, therefore. I love the way he starts this out. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ. If any comfort of love. Now notice this. If any fellowship of the Spirit. If any bowels and mercies, I'll just bring this one out. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit of all going on in your life, well, you're fixing to see an example of it. People say, "Well, I know God, and I know what God said." Well, the Bible says, "He that loveth knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God." And the love, if there he's talking about, is divine love. See, people say a lot of things, but see, if it's not what the Bible says, then it's not the Spirit. It's not God. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like minded, having the same love. Notice there, the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Now we know about strife. Let nothing be done through strife. But what about vainglory? What about drawing attention to yourself? Trying to promote yourself. Trying to promote your deal. Trying to promote your lives. You know what the Bible calls that? The Bible calls it vainglory. You know what the Bible also says about it? There's no fellowship of the Spirit. Nobody's walking in the Spirit. Nobody's being led by the Spirit who does this. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's not God. Hallelujah. The only reason I say these things is because when you look at some of these scriptures, it will really allow you to see and recognize what is the Spirit on the inside of you witnessing in you and what's not. You remember, you're going to have a new heart, a new spirit, and He's going to put His laws in your heart. The law that He's put in your heart is the law of love. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love. You know that you've passed from death over into life because you love. That's how you know. That's how you know you're being led. That's how you know you're being directed by this new nature, by the Spirit of God within you. It's the number one way. And let me say something to you. It's something that you develop in and you walk in and can be developed in. Go. Holy Ghost brought a scripture to me. Time out here. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Y'all ready? Now, there's a principle here, okay? Even though it's saying something specific, there's still a principle. This is something you grow in. You know, you can grow in grace. You know, fruit grows on a branch. Fruit grows. You know, you can, when I say grow, you have all these things in your spirit, but listen, through your mind, through your soul being renewed and transformed, that's where the growth is, where you can be in harmony in your inner man, both with your soul and your spirit. And the word is the thing that divides asunder between soul and spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's able to help divide and help show us the difference between soul and spirit. When our soul and our emotions are in agreement with our spirit and with the Spirit of God, and when it's not. That's what the word is for. Glory to God. Titus chapter 2. Verse 1, but speak thou these things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers a good thing. Now look at verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober. What else? To love. To love who? To love their husbands. To love their children. Do you know that you can be taught to love? In other words, if you're taught, then there's a growth. Just like when you go to school, you start out in kindergarten and you go through elementary school. There's a growth. There's a growth in learning. Well, I just fell in love with him. Well, I just fell in love with him, or she loves me. I don't care. Some of that is just emotional infatuation. You're not being led by the Spirit. Yeah, but we love one another. Are you sure? What does the Bible say? Who's bearing witness with you? Is it the Spirit of God on the inside? Is it the Spirit of God on the inside of you that's truly bearing witness with your spirit? Or is it something else going on? Is the external leading you? Is your emotions leading you? Is what He says leading you? Is what she's saying to you, is that leading you? So many people, listen to me, so many people are led by the external. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about believers. They're being led by the external, by the outward. They're being led by their bodies, by their feelings, their senses. And a lot of them are being led by an unrenewed soul. And they're being emotionally led, but it's not the Spirit of God. It's not love. You can be taught to love. Well, I just don't know if I love him. Well, learn to love him. Well, we fell out of love. You remember the song? Love don't live here anymore. It's just a fantasy. Love don't live here anymore. You know, there's secular songs like that. That's just one of many. You know what that is? That's sensual, carnal, and sometimes, as James wrote, it's even devilish. It's not the Spirit. And yet, people listen to songs like that, feed on that, and you know that stuff gets on the inside of them? Now, listen to this. And you know what else happens? They're being led by it. They agree with it. Where do they agree with it? In their heart. Because they've opened their ear gate to their soul. And they listen and feed on that kind of stuff. And they play all that kind of stuff. You know what that is? That's Psalm chapter 1. That's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Yes, Brother Roger. Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've got a witness on the inside of me. We're going to see more stuff around us in these last days. It would behoove us to pay attention to the one that abides with us and is on the inside of us, where Jesus said, He shall be in you. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Well, we know what the Word is. The Word is what's true. Jesus is the truth. Let me say it to you like this, and we'll close. I'm past my time. I hear people say things, even Christians sometimes. And I have to admit, I've said it myself. I've had things come out of my mouth. So I'm not trying to judge people. I've done it myself. But I've had to stop and just stop for a moment and go, wait a minute. If what I just said that was coming out of my soul or my heart or whatever, what I just said, if I put that in Jesus' mouth, if I put that in His mouth and He says the same thing I was saying, and it sounds a little strange coming from Him, guess what? I wasn't the Spirit of God in me. I wasn't being led. I wasn't listening. I hear people say things all the time. I'm talking about believers. And if you were to put that in His mouth, a lot of us go, No, Jesus never would say nothing like that. I mean, you wouldn't hear those words coming out from Him, coming from His mouth. Even when it comes to people, even when it comes to relationships, even when it comes with your family, what would He be saying? What's coming out of His Spirit? We're going to have to stop here. I forsook Philippians chapter 2. We'll pick Philippians chapter 2 up next week and go forward, because we'll find out that we're to have this same mind, this same love that He had. Even though He was equal with God and He knew who He was, and we are to know who we are, and we're to know our identity and get our identity from Him, but He still made Himself of no reputation. Love's not self-seeking. Love's not trying to build a reputation. How much stuff out there right now is trying to make a reputation of itself? What out there is true humility? I'm talking about true humility. Around us. What are we listening to? What are we being led by? What are we sensitive to? What are we aware of down here on the inside of us? You know, I said this earlier, that the Spirit of God wants to bear witness with our spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In other words, God's going to use your spirit. Your spirit is going to pick up on things. You're going to listen to your spirit. And then once you hear it in your spirit, if it's God, the Holy Spirit's going to go, yes, that's right. That's him bearing witness. You're going to know things in your own spirit, not in your head. You know, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, when he's exercising and praying in tongues, you're praying in tongues, your spirit's praying. The Holy Spirit on the inside of your spirit's giving you that utterance, but your spirit's praying. But it has nothing to do with your mind. Your mind and your soulless realm is unfruitful. It has nothing to do with it. That tells me I can listen to my spirit, not just pray in tongues, but I can listen to my spirit, let my spirit talk to me and tell me things, and then the Holy Spirit will say, yes, that's right, Roger, to my spirit. We've got to be led by that. And it's always going to be in line with love, first and foremost. And it'll be in line with other scriptures. Not just love scriptures, but other scriptures. But the fruit of the Spirit, the well within you. You know, that's why we went to Galatians chapter 5, because that's the well within you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about the manifestations of the Spirit, has to do with the river flowing out of you. I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations. That's another deal. We've not talked about that. I'm talking about the work of the Spirit within you to benefit you, that you draw from you, that springs up within you, illuminates you, lightens you, brings understanding to your heart, brings direction to your life, causes you to walk in truth. Remember he said, I'll cause them. I'll put my spirit in them, a new spirit. I'll cause them to walk in my statutes. I'll put my laws on the inside of them. He's talking about the love of God. And that's the number one way we develop and learn and grow and be led by the Spirit of God. Because you know as well as I do, that is an area in our life that we're being challenged from every angle. Is to truly have fellowship with the Spirit and not be self-seeking and not think about us. That's enough. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you for making us more aware. I thank you, Lord, that we're God inside minded, that we're spirit minded. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. There's no fruit. There's no production. There's no profit. It produces nothing. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end of that way is death. But Lord, you're the way. You're the way. You're the truth. You're the life. Oh, we acknowledge you. We thank you that we look to you. You're the one who lives on the inside of us. And I thank you, Lord, that we're becoming more conscious, more aware of you and your words, of the Spirit of God within us. Even when we receive the report of men, when things come against us, when words are spoken, we have a witness from you, Lord, that's greater. We have a report. We have words that are spirit in our life, and we can yield to those words, and we can embrace those words. We can walk in those words. We thank you for that. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by your Spirit. Oh, thank you we're able to imitate you, Father, as dear children, as sons of God, and be led by the Spirit of love, the Spirit of God. We can imitate you as dear children and walk in love, walk in this divine realm. Because he that's walking in love and dwelling in love is dwelling in you, Father, walking in you, listening to you. It produces a joy, a peace, a patience, a long-suffering, a meekness, a temperance, faith. Hallelujah. Faithfulness. Hallelujah. Against such there is no law. We bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I think the Spirit of God's bearing witness with me. And it may be, I don't know if it's here, maybe somebody watching online, but here's what I heard on the inside of me. There's somebody, could be here, but I know this in my spirit, it came up in me. Your heart's condemning you because you're dealing with a situation with somebody. And it's there's strife. There's division. And the Holy Ghost told me to tell you, if you'll go ahead and make a decision to just release that person, forgive that person, and release them and commit that thing to the Lord right now, it's producing some effects in your physical body. There's some symptoms in your body that are a direct result of that condemnation and that strife. You remember James says where strife and envying is, there's confusion and, not just confusion, and every evil work. There's an evil work even in your physical body right now. And the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you just, and your heart's condemning you over it. You know this. Just go ahead and release it. Say this out of your mouth, Lord, I release them. I forgive them. I forgive because they are forgiven. You've forgiven them and you've forgiven me. And I choose to forgive. It is a choice, my brother and sister. It is a choice. Choose you this day who you're going to serve, who you're going to follow after. Follow the Spirit. Just say, I release them, Lord. I release them to you. I ask you to take care of it and to fix it, Father. And I set my affection on you and I release them in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you right now, you'll see the symptoms change in your body. You'll see healing manifest and spring forth in your body. Because you're not being able to receive, and you've even prayed about this thing in your body. But see, you can't receive, the scripture says in 1 John 3, because your heart condemns you. But now the condemnation's gone. This thing has been released to the Lord. You've cast the care of it, and now there's freedom, and the Spirit of God can quicken you and bring life to your body. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love's a big deal. Love is a big deal. I'm reminded of a story John Lake talked about. Had a man come down in a healing line. He started to pray for him. Started to put his hands on him. He was needing healing in his body. And Lake said, what is this $5,000 that I'm picking up on in my spirit? What is this $5,000? The man had not been able to receive healing, according to his testimony. Been prayed for. And he'd been in business with his brother, or his brother-in-law, I think it was. And they sold out the business, terminated the business. And because he felt like he had put a little more into that thing than brother-in-law had, when they sold it, he held back $5,000 more because he felt like that's what was owed him. But that wasn't the agreement. And Lake picked up on it. And the man told him what happened. He said, you go to the post office right now. He said, you got the $5,000? He said, oh yeah, I got it in my bank. He said, you go write the check to your brother-in-law. Send him the $5,000. You come back here and I'll pray for you and you'll be healed. He did. Lake did. God did. And the man was totally healed. Let me say something to you. Being led by the Spirit and being led by love is a big deal. The scriptures talk about it. And there's several that talk about it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Amen. Praise God. We love you. We bless you. We bless you, those of you who are watching. We'll be back here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Hallelujah. Everybody have a great week. You're dismissed.